Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ewan Patterson.
Hello.
And Rich Hudson.
Hello.
And it's been Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all sorts of deals type things for the last few days, impulse buys.
What comes after Cyber Monday?
Shrove Tuesday.
Techie Tuesday.
Techie Tuesday.
Great regret.
Yeah.
But I thought we would gather today and have a general conversation on the state of technology in the gaming industry. Because I, you know, got sucked in and I bought a PS4 Pro and a 4K TV. And I have thoughts on this, mainly because it was Josh Brown who was like, you should do the thing, you should get the new TV.
I was there for all of this. You have no willpower. I tried to do it to me earlier on the month from the other side of the office.
I tried withstanding it for years. 4K TV's been around for a while, but then, you know, on the advent of all these new games like Red Dead Redemption 2 or God of War or whatever, not Celeste, I guess, in this regard, but things that look gorgeous, and I'm just like, I wonder if there's more to this that I could be getting if I got a fancier rig.
Maybe.
So my opening question to both of you is, what are your general thoughts towards this whole advent of 4K? How essential do you think it is?
Yeah, so I got a 4K TV when I moved into my new place.
Talk to me about willpower.
Well, this is the thing I didn't have because I live with different people and I moved out and this is like the first time I've ever had a property to myself, so no flatmates. But I got a new TV for that because whereas before I had a little TV in my own space, now we have a thing that occupies the living room. So I got myself a little 4K TV. My PS4 I got the second year of the launch cycle, so in 2014. Mm-hmm. And for a while, it'd been making all sorts of noises, which isn't great. And there was, for a period of time, I kind of thought, well, I've got this 4K TV. Maybe I should upgrade. I never went that far. It has since come back to life for some reason. It stealths around now.
Second
like
wind.
A smooth stealth B-52 bomber. And I'm quite content with that. But am I getting the best out of that 4K TV? Because obviously, I have all the HDR stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
I'm content with that. I don't necessarily. The only reason why I got a new TV was mainly for the size. Mm-hmm. The 4K was just kind of incidental. So am I getting the most out of this thing?
Well,
should I just say, you know what? Who cares? What the heck? I'll get a 4K PS4.
I might get back on that. I was going to ask, what's your setup, Rich? Because you've got a regular HDTV.
I have a regular HDTV. It is it feels like a first generation smart TV. So all the smart functionality on it is really crap. It's very slow and clunky.
Like dumb TV, mate.
Yeah, and then, but it's 1080p, but it is also 3D.
Yeah.
Right.
Which obviously gimmick that died off and nobody uses it. The only thing I've used that TV for in 3D is to try Black Ops 1 on the Xbox 360 in 3D.
Oh, so you can play 3D games.
And that is awful.
Oh, I remember when they
tried to make
the Avatar tie-in game 3D as well. I remember that.
Killzone was in 3D as well.
Oh,
but,
wow.
As someone who mains PC, we have a bigger breadth of potential resolutions to play with.
Mm-hmm.
So making the jump to 4K is completely possible.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm quite happy running in 1080p, and that's pretty much across everything. If I want to, I can make the jump up to 1440p. Which is just a bit higher than 1080p.
Mm-hmm. Bit hipster that.
Bit hipster that. Mm. But like I could make that sort of incremental jump. It's the Xbox One S of resolutions, essentially.
Yeah.
I can make that jump. As for jumping to 4K, I don't see a big deal in doing so. Not, I mean, that's just me personally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in Ewan's case, buying a 4K TV and going, yeah, I've got a 4K TV, now that's fine. Like, when I eventually get around to replacing this, you know, the old family TV that I've now got, the 3D smart thing, I will get a 4K TV, most likely. Yes. Unless a 1080p huge TV is super dirt cheap, by then I'll think, yeah, we'll just get one of them. But for Scott buying a PS4 Pro...
to go along with that.
I wouldn't say there's necessarily anything wrong with it.
Oh, we're not here to interrogate Scott's purchasing decision, surely.
But the thing that I'll say probably plants a seed for potential future questions in this podcast is it feels a bit late in the cycle to have purchased, to upgrade a PS4 to a PS4 Pro, because that's what most people were saying when the PS4 Pro released 2 years ago.
Yeah.
If you've already got a PS4, it's not that big of a deal to do the upgrade.
That's
but
the thing.
You've now done that.
Yes.
So,
You succumbed where I stood strong and resolute in the face of Josh Brown's curried words.
My thing, it wasn't entirely about resolutions and graphics. No. It was also about the speed of the console and the storage capability.
Yes.
Because I still have the launch 500 gig, which is actually like 370.
Which I completely understand.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, I overheard you guys discussing this before about whether the next gen coming.
What?
Eavesdropping everywhere, yeah.
Hopping in.
Whether you'll be jumping on this next generation first thing. Because I feel like this will be the first time I do that ever, is jumping
well,
onto
I
a
always
new generation
do.
Straight away.
I'm like a sucker for these
and
things.
And as I think you said, also, like, that could be a problem because you could get a really duff launch console. Because I've got the PS4 Slim, and I love it to bits. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of what it'd be like to be having a PS4 now after... What is it, 5 years?
Yeah. I'm the biggest idiot, really, because for every single console generation, I've waited exactly 1 year. So that's too soon before the little midway cycle upgrade. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, oh God, but like too early before, like, you know, it's you get most of the issues with the console. So that's where I got my PS4. I got that in 2014. Mm-hmm. And as I was saying, for a while now, it was been making all sorts of like noises.
The
and
fans
it's been
are
really
kind of
bad.
Known
and,
to thing
but
too.
Suddenly, I don't know what's happened. The stars have aligned. I've rested it in such a way that it now just glides. So right. I did threaten it with death. I was like, mate, if you continue doing this, I'm taking you out the back and shooting you in the head and taking the Pro. But since it's come back to life, I've kind of realized like the only reason why I would ever want to upgrade this console at this point in time is noise. Because I don't care about the I'm quite content to just have, because Red Dead 2, I'm sure many people will be in the same position. You download that game, that is taking up like what?
It's like 92 gigs.
You're in a bit of an awkward position there, but unless you're cycling through loads of games every single week, which most people probably aren't.
Well, see, I am, which is one of the things. It's mainly just because obviously we're running this section, we do so many videos, we cover so much stuff, so I try and play literally everything. And so, like, yeah, that was the thing. I didn't buy into the whole 4K hype initially when the PS4 Pro got announced. There's actually a really old video on the channel called something like "The PS4 Pro Is Everything Wrong with the Industry," because I still kind of stand by that idea that, like, you know, it promotes the idea that graphics are more important than gameplay. That was the core of that video. And so, like, that's the thing. Getting something now, it was mainly a response to the storage thing, and because this year's games, Red Dead 2, Spidey, God of War, are these big, huge, ambitious, over-the-top things. Mm-hmm. And because we're towards the end of the console cycle, a lot of developers have, like, perfected that stuff. You know, we're in that era where we're getting something on the level of The Last of Us when it was on the PS3. And so, like I said, I mainly got it because of the storage thing. But in terms of being stung with a PS5 being around the corner, they've nigh on said it'll be 2020. If it'll probably get announced next year. Mm-hmm. But the way that the rumors are lining up, it seems like I've at least got another sort of 2 years out of this thing.
But then again, it's not like when the PS5 comes about, you're just going to ignore the PS4 just completely. I mean, it depends, because if the rumors are right...
We're getting into hypothetical territory here, basically.
That's like because, the idea that it will be backwards compatible, but just based on the last few generations, that probably won't happen.
Yeah. See, I think they'll have to make it backwards compatible just because of the way the competition
is. I was going
to
say, because as well, I think with this console cycle in particular, you're going to see a fragmentation of your player base in a way you've not really had before. Mm-hmm. I know when during the 360 and PS3, I and my friends were all on 360, and then when Microsoft had their disastrous E3 press conference, they were we're just gonna lay the rug out for Sony.
Do you want to control the TV with
voice? Just absolutely
just Don Matter.
Don Matter. We have a system for people who don't like this thing and the other. It's called the Xbox 360. It's way to put your foot in.
And the launch of the PS4 kind of coincided with me going to uni, so I met new friends that way. And then I've always predicated my console decisions based on where I can interact with my friends, and for the most from like PS4 onwards, that's been the case. So if I have to upgrade again, I'd very much hope that the transition is more seamless and that you can interact with people on the PS4 if they have chosen not to upgrade, and that in itself is interesting to me because if we're talking about the PS5 as being, and the Xbox Scarlett, whatever it's called,
that's
as being absolutely necessary changes that are coming within the next 2 years, does that kind of go in the way of this seamless transition that I'd want, where I'd be kind of wanting to play my old friends and then having the backwards compatible element at the same time? Because if that's not the case, then I'm not sure I'm motivated enough to upgrade come 2020.
Well, that's kind of where we're at, because like that's another thing that I've got written down here is like this is the first generation where we've had half-step consoles. We've got the PS4 Pro, the Xbox One S, and the One X. And so, like, I mean, Sony have been pretty reticent to release their sales data on these things. And initially it was like, oh, they sold, like, you know, incredibly well. And then, oh, well, actually, the tail end stuff hasn't been that solid. And, like, there's only, as far as I know, only me and Josh are the only two people that have PS4 Pros in the whole office.
Yeah.
And so, like, and there's about 20 of us through there. So it's like, it's, you know, it's like, what, like a tenth or something. And it doesn't seem like it's this massive essential thing. But since I've had the Pro and since I've been Googling games that benefit from the PS4 Pro enhancements, there are games like Fallout 4 that run Demonstrably better that render themselves, not render, sorry, they have different god rays or whatever. Games like Abzu god that rays. Double the amount of fish or whatever. Well, there's a bunch of games that have...
Call of Duty Ghosts, hello.
Well, oh, yeah, for, yeah, some fish tech. But you have specific games that have been given this, like, you know, extra boost. And so I found myself retroactively going back through my old catalogue and playing these things in like a faster frame rate. Dark Souls 3 runs in 60 FPS or whatever, and those things play better than they did before. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it's not essential. Mm-hmm. And so when Sony came out and said that they think that another generation of consoles is essential, I'm like, what are you guys going to do? Because I mean, that's a wider point, but I think, like, you know, you're coming up against this glass ceiling of graphical technology, which we've covered before. But like, I don't know what you guys think about where consoles can even go now.
4K is, in console terms, is a bit of a gimmick in itself. Because
Spider-Man looks pretty good.
I mean, I won't dispute that it looks really good.
It is definitely a gimmick, though.
I mean, but it's playing stuff natively, like actually natively in 4K, is a big deal. It requires a lot of power. Doing that on PC is only really just coming about to be quite accessible, because back when they turned around and said, oh, we're doing the PS4 Pro, and then obviously Xbox One X was still kind of in development at the time, I think we just got a new line of GPUs on PC, and they're like, okay, these are the ones that are going to really start getting it there. And it's like, if we're going to have to cough up like hundreds of, like, probably 2-3 times the amount of of this 4K console for just the thing that's going to run the game, just the GPU itself. How on earth are you going to pack 4K, literal 4K within $300-$400? Like, that's so weird.
The weird
obviously,
question.
It's because it's the dynamic 4K stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to say that it's a completely stupid thing and, oh, you will fall over this stupid thing.
No,
like,
I've definitely fallen.
But from there, there's, other than turning around and going, okay, this actually runs stuff natively at 4K, that's where things can go. But obviously there are musings going around. It's like, oh, 8K.
Yeah.
It's like, this is where things just get stupid.
There are definitely people out there in the office, Josh Brown, who like to, you know, they're very much in the tech. They want to upgrade. They want to get the coolest thing first. That's totally cool.
That's fine, yeah.
That's what I'll be like at the PS5 launch.
The thing that I feel about with another console cycle, and obviously we say this all the time, like back when, what, 1080p came out, we thought, oh, how can they possibly get better from this? And then, of course, 4K came around, whatever. It's one of those things where I feel like, is the industry capable of surviving without a kind of bi-decade
innovation.
Because we've got these console cycles, and of course the last one was a complete anomaly due to like the credit crunch and like like all of that. It's interesting because you'll have people at Sony and Microsoft, potentially at Nintendo as well, I don't know, who will be banking on them getting a new console cycle out and them having to say that it is essential. That's going to vary from person to person, but the only thing that could possibly convince me to get this new generation of consoles would be if we're going to launch games on there exclusively.
Right.
And if there isn't a big enough step up between the generations, I can see that having a massive backlash.
One of the things to address with that is, so the beginning of this generation was so stilted because the word amongst the industry on the insiders was that no one wanted consoles anymore. The consoles were dead and PC was the future. So you had pretty much all the major devs weren't playing their cards up front, and they waited. That was kind of why things like Assassin's Creed Unity kind of limped out the door. And it wasn't until like later in 2015 and, you know, from then on in that everything sort of picked up again. That initial, it's weird because they still went forward with the, you know, the big SKUs. You still had the PS4, the Xbox One, but they didn't feel necessarily that confident. You know, it's not like the PS4 had anything front loading it apart from Killzone and Knack, and like Xbox One had thin air.
They had Recore.
Yeah, yeah. Recore came later. Yeah.
Sunset Overdrive.
Sunset 2. But that's the thing. It's like, yeah, the scuttlebutt on the industry at the time was that no one wanted consoles anymore. Mm. And then the PS4 has sold more than the PS3 now and had this amazing sales record, and the Switch is incredible too. Mm. And so, like, there is a business reality to the idea of a new console.
Yes.
And I think that they kind of... That was the thing. When they did the half-step one, it was like, how much have they scuppered the value of a new console? Mm-hmm. And so when they go, this is the PS5, mm-hmm. I still think the PS4 is selling so consistently that that's not going to do much, which is why they're trying to stagger it to 2020.
Are we going
to
see a repeat of the PS2, do you think, with the PS4, where mm-hmm. even like two cycles further down the line, we're still going to see it selling? Like, because they only ceased production on the PS2.
They did a list on this literally the other week. Yeah, so, it was September 2018. They finally pulled the plug entirely on the PS2. And
really?
Japan. Yeah. But just for repairs. Like, the last game that was released for it was 2013.
Right. And obviously,
but that's 13 years after it launched.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, there are unique circumstances to the PS2 that have meant that it's kind of bucked trends and people have stuck with it for so long, and the fact that it's so accessible and whatever. But, mm-hmm. you know, with those generations following, there was clear... It necessitated an upgrade. Whereas right now, I'm very content. I remember when the PS4 and all that was announced, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be the next step up. I get to see the individual flecks of rain fall down on Batman's cape. I'm going to get to see everything up close. Mm-hmm. And having spent time with Red Dead Redemption 2 now, which I think is the most stunning looking game that I've ever played.
Yeah, I probably agree.
I struggle to see
where to go.
And even if there is, why bother?
Yeah.
Well, that was one of the things that I worry about. Well, not I don't worry about it, but there's a great video that Game Informer did where they talked to a bunch of game developers. What do they think of Red Dead Redemption 2? And I think it's Rami Ishmael was talking about like the idea that, like, you know, if this is the bar being raised, then like what does that mean for like general customer perception of open world games and the industry in general? Like, not everybody is Rockstar. In fact, no one else is. And the nearest one to it is someone like an Ubisoft or a CD Projekt Red. And like, you know, I mean, The Witcher is hyper detailed, but it took them years to put together.
Yeah.
So like, if the assumption become if Red Dead 2 is the new benchmark,
yeah.
Ain't no one going to hit that.
That's very bug.
And so,
very
like, and plus, in terms of you know, resolutions, like, there's an interview with Stan Lee that Kevin Smith did where they recorded it in 10K, is that 10K or 12K? And when they recorded it, Kevin Smith talks about this on his latest podcast, they actually didn't have the technology to watch it back, but they did have the recording technology. Mm-hmm. So they recorded it in a resolution they can't watch back yet, but knowing that the technology will get there in the future.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
So it's like, well, where does it stop? Like at some point. And it's like, is something like a PS5? I mean, and then the business reality of a new console selling mean that a PS6 has to happen?
Yeah.
Or do we just plateau out and again, we get like the PlayStation?
That's what I'm kind of saying again. It's like, can the industry survive without this? It's almost like a self-fulfilling, it's cyclical. Obviously, that's it. Yeah. It's a cycle. But what happens when that cycle it comes to a conclusion? Because there's the business sense behind it, but are we going to see a case in 4 or 5 years' time where these companies struggle to really justify the next step up?
I think that's where we kind of are. Well, I think that's where the technology industry is, because Apple kind of found that with the iPhone. It's like, how much further can iPhones go? It's like, oh, well, now we've got a thumb scanner. It's great.
Each big innovation is like, in reality, the tiniest thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, that's the thing. Like, this generation, we've seen gaming pivot way more into a tech model where it's a half-step console, and we're talking like, on the console side, we're talking about graphic sliders and HDR and God rays and all that kind of stuff. Things that in prior generations were resigned to the PC crowd.
I think maybe it should just be like taking iPhone as an example, you know, that you can upgrade the hardware, you can upgrade the software, and it's kind of like the whole, if you replace the handle and the brush of the same broom, is it the same broom, and so on.
Cool.
You can keep changing that up and keep replacing it, and that's where I think the idea of just the PlayStation comes from. Like the modern trend of, let's do a reboot and let's just call it the first thing and just go from there.
True.
I mean, so many console people talk about how they want to have something. They want to go, I don't want to have to buy a half-step console, I don't have to buy a brand new console, just give me the part and I can go and put it in and then a new console. And it's like, that's a PC.
Yeah.
And that's
not
necessarily saying, okay, go and buy a PC. Because I know that a lot of people do that. I do that.
You do tell me this every day.
I tell Scott to do that. Oh, I might buy a PS4 Pro. Scott, buy a PC. Come on.
No.
That's the one thing you need to get. But like, I feel like that could be the next step. Like, if they turn around and said, right, we are going to rebrand PlayStation 4 as PlayStation, and every couple of years, we'll release a new variant of the PlayStation. We'll release a new one with a better hard drive, better graphics, whatever, but we'll make it like an open platform so that whatever version of the console you get, whether you've got a 2013 launch model or you've got a 2017 slim like I do, you know, you can still play all these games, and we're just going to keep this one going. It may not be for this generation, since they have said the Scarlet and whatever the next PlayStation is, assumedly the PlayStation 5, stupidly they didn't call it that, is on the way. Maybe this is where they go, right, here's the console, this is it.
Yeah,
we're going to stick with this. I remember many, many years ago, Razer, the game company, gaming hardware company, they made a concept product. I can't remember what it was called. It was like Project Caroline or something. It had a female name. I can't remember what it was. Essentially, it was a giant PC made up of like massive, essentially like Lego bricks. And it was a means of upgrading parts of a PC, but it was so simple.
That rings a bell.
Anybody could do it. Not saying the PC building itself is actually that hard, because it's not, but
somewhere there is a middle ground, though.
It would make, like, for example, I know that, Scott, you are kind of afraid of the idea of PC. There's a lot of stuff to get your head around, and I understand that. I do. But Razer came up with this concept that it was literally a modular PC. And it's like, if that's the approach that they went with these new consoles, I think that would not necessarily, like, save the idea of there being more half-step systems, but I like the idea of being able to pick and choose your own console at launch. You can work, whether you can go for a cheaper model and you can just bring a smaller drive on it, but you could still put a better graphics card on it or something.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the direction they go, because if you want something that's going to need to be upgraded or in such a state that it could be upgraded, that's the only thing I can think of doing without making it too hard for the consumer. Because the only thing you can do with a PS4 right now is replace the drive, which is still pretty simple, but that's all you can do.
In terms of the mentality shift, like, I mean, we've seen Phil Spencer's been the one talking about like the future of the systems is to go into a more streaming model. They've got the Game Pass, PlayStation, now got PlayStation Now.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that
in terms of,
help well.
It's all right now, but like, it was very laggy when it first came out.
Yeah.
But that idea of like establishing, you know, we only have one Netflix, there's only one Amazon Prime, there's only one of these like services. And it's like if PlayStation becomes this like nebulous sort of brand, and then like on the hardware side, you're customizing what you want to spec towards. Like they've already been training people to think about like all the things I mentioned before, God rays and resolution and everything, which all they used to be the things that would scare people away from PC gaming. Mm. And so now you've kind of got like.
I did quiver a little bit when you said God rays.
I know. FXAA.
I mean, it's lovely.
And it's like, that's the thing. It's like they're the things that used to scare people away from that stuff. But now console players are slowly being conditioned to get into quite similar mentalities as PC gamers. Mm. And someone like a Josh, a Mr. Brown, or like me, is now going into all these settings and tweaking different sharpness things and brightness things and going into games like Assassin's Creed, where there's like 20 different HDR options and tweaking it to get the best picture.
They are starting to coincide. You know, people are saying that this is where things are going. The consoles are becoming more like PCs because the argument of, oh, it's plug and play, that doesn't work anymore. It hasn't worked
not as much,
since this generation. It's still, obviously, I know it's still different for PC now as it is for console, but they are becoming one. Mm-hmm. And like I explained this to my friend the other day, that there's always this joke of, oh, why is there no PC 2? It's like, because there doesn't need to be. It's just one big platform and I can play everything. Mm-hmm. I can boot up Black Ops 4 that I bought 2 months ago, and then I can boot up Quake from 1996.
But not Red Dead 2.
Yeah, you are right.
But that's the thing. You think about the way the different mediums have tackled the plateau of technology. Like, we've seen film experiment with like things like D-Box or try to do different like ways of viewing a movie. But the fundamental thing is you sit down in the chair, you watch it, and we've gone from standard definition to HD, but not that much stuff has changed. No. It's not like books have started replacing paper.
Again, that's one of the reasons why I've never really felt compelled to check out a PC. First of all, because like I said before, none of my friends have a PC. But also the setting, I feel, so sitting by a PC and a monitor requires a great
more
level
effort.
Of commitment. Yeah, and I'm not saying that as I'm just sort of some lazy sod who's sitting on his couch and just like playing, because I do get into it.
There are times where I am sat on my PC thinking, I wish I was just slumped
exactly.
on the sofa.
And
right
like
now,
if you've got friends over, having a PC doesn't necessarily, I'm talking about as if couch co-op is still a thing, but it's a case of. Having your console plugged up to your TV necessitates a different approach to gaming. Yeah. Not necessarily casual, because there are hardcore gamers who play on console, ignoring the casual, hardcore, whatever. Yeah. But the case of it's a different mentality, I think, which is, I think we were going to talk about the mouse keyboard thing as well.
Yeah, that was
one
thing I was going to kind of roll into this was, because that thing you said about like the way that you sit and play, like the idea of a living room PC or a tower is more of a thing now than it's ever been, but I don't think it's a completely accepted thing.
I have a Steam Link, which we've used to play things like Toybox Turbos and Jackbox and on the TV. And it's great. It's a nifty little thing. Valve just canned it because it wasn't selling. Even
great,
though they were like, hey, let's put it down to £2 on Steam.
What are Valve even doing that? I'm not going to get
that. That's another podcast.
There's a Valve. We can talk about Valve another time. But like, there are ways around that. And I know that it does require more effort versus just having a console under your TV. And I understand that. But anyway, on to the...
I think for the sake of like a general sort of wrap-up thing, it's like, where do you see, on a long enough timeline, how do you see yourself taking in video games? Because I think for you've been like majority PC gamer for the longest time with like kind of consoles on the side. For me and you, and I think we both grew up on consoles.
Yes.
So like the idea of like console gaming plateauing out and just being like a service. I mean, I'm going to get this on Xbox, and it doesn't matter what console it is. You're just getting it because you have that brand loyalty and they've snapped up the dev that you like.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, even going down the streaming route or whatever, you boot up PlayStation the same way you boot up Netflix.
Because they had that with the PlayStation TV, didn't they?
That kind of
served that purpose.
I didn't like the sound of always online gaming in 2013. Mm. I still don't like the sound of it. I like owning physical things, and PlayStation Now is a fantastic service, but at the end of the day, I already own these games on whatever previous generation of console.
You're not gonna hook it back up.
Like,
though.
I don't like the idea of having a service where I constantly have to be connected, because the whole, say what you will, sometimes the idea of gaming is being disconnected from everything. And if I constantly have to worry about Wi-Fi and internet connection and streaming things and potential issues with that side, I couldn't be bothered. I genuinely just couldn't be bothered.
I think the authentication side of it is another bugbear, because if you start having this sort of like always connected service where you can only access your library if they do a verification check every sort of 20 minutes, then that's going to be a thing.
If anybody tries that again, then they're obviously, they've got their fingers in their ears and they're going la 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 because they weren't paying attention to how big of a goof Xbox did.
Honestly, that press conference cost them millions.
It did.
The thing is, like, this is we need to wrap up at some point, but there is a way to do that. Like, the thing that was at the core of their whole DRM sell was quite good, because you could nominate a bunch of friends to have on your account and say, I've bought this game, I want to share it with like six people, and then they all have a copy of it too.
But they need a way to police it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it felt like the policing bit was at the forefront, whereas the whole sharing bit was on the backseat, and that's how it all went peaked. on
the
scheme of things.
But that thing, that idea of like moving things into like the digital realm, like whether it be sharing or just like streaming or like authentication and stuff, like that seems to be a way to get more games to more people. And even Xbox and Phil Spencer has been like putting their exclusives on Xbox and on PC to try and get it to as many people as possible.
It's just a shame the Windows Store version of games
are
trash. I re-bought Cuphead on Steam because the Cuphead I bought originally on the Windows Store was so bad.
Just a nightmare to access.
I can barely launch it.
The Windows 10 store is bad.
Windows 10 has like built-in support for Xbox One controllers. Perfect. We've got an Xbox One controller. Hey, Cuphead, do you want to work with the Xbox One controller? Nah.
It's a bit of a thing. I think that, I see the potential steps that they're taking. I think Microsoft and Xbox are taking more steps towards an all-streaming future with, like, you know, they pioneered Game Pass, so the idea of a monthly service. And PlayStation seem to be a little bit kind of just waiting at the minute, kind of reading the terrain. Because even Nintendo have the, whatever you call that, the Nintendo service where you can access old school games. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I like the idea, the thing that you said about, like, you can just boot up your old consoles. I actually don't want to do that. I want a Netflix-style,
here's everything. I didn't mean, like, pick out your old, like, dust off your old Xbox, whatever. I meant just backwards compatibility.
You already own it, you don't have to buy it.
The actual disc itself, not necessarily the console, because it's a different thing.
Like, it's like, if, for example, they were like, when they said, oh, with Xbox backwards compatibility, like you have to make sure that the game is supported, and you have to download the files and stuff onto Xbox One. Mm-hmm. Imagine if they charged you like $1.99 to do that. Like that would have all fallen flat on its face if that were the case.
Yeah. I think there's like a mortal value in each of these consoles' legacies, and I'm kind of waiting for that. I'm waiting for Sony to just go, here's the PlayStation library available. Yeah. Same with Nintendo, and to some degree, same with Xbox and Microsoft. Mm-hmm. It's just like, just put those things out as monthly services. You can monetize the living hell out of that, whether you trade titles out of it the same way that streaming services do. But I think that's the future. For me, my prediction, I think that's the future.
I don't like that. I don't like that one bit because a film is a different thing to a game. Like a game, like you own, you spend time with it, you come back to it. Of course, you do the same things with films.
Yeah.
But the
It
doesn't feel right. Don't feel right.
Give me a prediction.
I like the idea of there being a PlayStation, and Sony want this to be their legacy system. And want to say, okay, you know, in an ideal world, like for example, PlayStation 5 or PlayStation, just as is PlayStation X, there it is. plays PlayStation 5 or the new PlayStation
whatever
game,
it is,
Play 5,
branded in such a way so that you know it's a new game, and then it's like it plays PlayStation 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Yes,
all on disc. We can emulate it within the software because that's how you know. I can download a PlayStation 2 emulator on my PC, put a PlayStation 2 disc in a disc drive, and it will read it like it's a PlayStation 2.
Right.
It is possible. Mm-hmm. If they turn around and said, "Yeah, we're going to do this. Here's the PlayStation 1 to 5. All of it works. Here it all is. You can change stuff out. You know." Oh, you know, do you need to replace the fans? You need to replace the hard drive? You need to replace whatever?
Completely agree. Mm-hmm.
Super easy, easy peasy to do. Mm-hmm. I think that would be the ideal direction that console gaming needs to go.
Yeah, that's the monetized elements of it as well.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily just to try and emulate the PC, but just to make it so it's like, hey, I mean, 5, 6, 7, 8 years of a life cycle is pretty good for a console, but they could double that if they went down that route.
But do they want to?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, will it stop the monetization?
It's strange because if they go with the model that I'm describing, they sell you one more PlayStation, Xbox, and that's it. And you just stream stuff in and everything's accessible through the streaming technology.
Then it's like, I'm not a fan of the streaming concept.
Potentially.
My internet is fine. Like, I could probably happily stream anything, no problem, but I just don't like the idea of it.
Well, when I say streaming, I mean, like, you can access, download
Game Pass
it.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I think that is an acceptable.
Essentially just a way to access a library, but you do still download it to play. It used to be streaming, but it's kind of all like skew with. But if they did it the way that you're mentioning, which makes more sense on a business thing, they can go, here's the latest PlayStation, but hey, here's the new PlayStation graphics card. And knowing Sony, because they've had Vita exclusive memory cards, they would have
a
PlayStation owned
stuff.
Yeah, and then they just sell you the components.
Which admittedly, like for something like in that scenario, using proprietary stuff, I think is fine. Mm-hmm. You're taking what is a universal standard in the same way they did with the Vita and the PSP with their memory stick duo cards, and then Nintendo weirdly saying, hey, here's USB Type-C, but technically it doesn't work with everything because we've changed how the power's drawn. If you use another kind of cable, you could break your Switch.
Set it on fire.
What a stupid idea, Nintendo. I think in that respect, Sony turning around and going, here's the PlayStation GPU upgrade, you can't get this, as a like a Mad Cats version of it. You know, I think that would be okay.
I think that might end up being the direction.
If they make the half-step stuff not entirely replacing a console, especially not for 400 quid a pop.
I think that there's a business reality to saying this is the new PlayStation thing. So, like, yeah, I think if they bring that in that way, that's a way for them to sort of tick both boxes. But it'll be fascinating to see how it goes. At the minute, the only thing that we have on the docket is that the Xbox Scarlett is somewhere in the future and the PS5 is meant to be scheduled to be released.
Play Fiveston.
But we're going to see a bit of it next year and assumedly it'll be released in 2020. But let us know what you think. Find us on social media. I am @LP89 on Twitter. I can never get that
there
thing
right.
There
we go. You got it in the end.
But you'll find me eventually. Or let us know down in the comments below if you're watching on YouTube. Also, I've been joined by Ewan.
I've been Ewan. I can ruin things for you on Twitter @EwanRuinsThings. If you want to nag me about my horrendous console opinions or console me regarding my console opinions, you can do so there.
Also joined by Rich.
I'm Rich. You can follow me on Twitter @PickUpChangeTone. I'll tell you why PC is better than everything. I'm not really like that.
But until
then. I know I put myself across like that.
Till next time, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast, and we'll catch you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.